We all stumble in many things, but if anyone does not stumble in words that come out of your mouth, he's a perfect man. Not perfect like sinless, but mature. You're a mature person, and he's able to bridle his entire body.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We are so delighted you've joined us for the broadcast today. Okay, I've got a question for you. Did you know that you can grieve the Spirit of God? No? Well, in our study today from Ephesians, Pastor Bill shows us from God's Word that yes, in fact, we can grieve the Spirit of God. So let's listen in now.
Turn in your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going through the great epistle of Paul to the church at Ephesus, the ones that are full of Gentiles. You know, this morning I want to talk to you. This is going to be a two-parter, by the way, maybe even be a three-parter. But it's so important that we grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? This message this morning, I pray that you really get it into your heart and into your mind, that we grieve not the Spirit of God. Remember, the word grieve means to vex or to make sad or to make sorrowful. And it's amazing that we can make the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who loves us, who is alongside of us, that we can make him sad. Amen? And so the verses that we're in this morning are so absolutely vital. We're going to begin in verse 25 in just a moment, but I want to talk to you this morning about the great importance of the things that come out of the new man. We're now a new creation in Christ. The new word, the new way that we speak, our conversation, because, you know, words are powerful. Amen? And so as we look here, the power of speech is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given unto man. So when we look at our verses here, for example, verse 25, verse 26, verse 39, verse 31, and others in chapter 5 have to do with what you say, your conversation, the words that come out of your mouth. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and I want you to ask yourself, is this a description of how I speak? Is this a description of my conversations? Let me give you Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous, those that are in right standing with God, the mouth of the righteous, here it is a well of life. Would you call yourself, when you talk to others and the conversation that comes out of your mouth, because you're a new believer or a believer in Christ Jesus, would you say, man, my words are a well of life to other people? How about this one? Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue, a healthy tongue is a tree of life. Every word that you speak to others, to your wife, to your husband, to your friends, at your workplace, at school, wherever it might be, would they call it a tree of life? That every word brings life. How about this one? Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken, meaning spoken at the right time, at the right place. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Apples of gold in settings of silver. Isn't God's word beautiful? Yes. Listen, a word fitly spoken. Emerson said this about words. He said, words are alive. Words are living. You cut a word and you'll see it bleed. Listen, words matter to the believer and to the Holy Spirit of God. So as we begin this morning, remember that all that we've learned now, you know, we no longer live like the Gentiles, meaning lost people. We're brand new creation in Christ. We now have learned from the Lord the truth that is in him. We have taken his yoke. Jesus says, come and take my yoke and learn from me. And his yoke is the lowly heart of Christ. We've now taken that. And also, we have now been, as the Bible we've already learned, is to walk worthy of the calling by which we've been called. Remember, the word worthy is a picture of a set of scales. 5 pounds on this side, 5 pounds on that side. Equal, perfect weight. In other words, equal in doctrine, equal in application. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, doctrine. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are now the application. We hear the Word of God. We do the Word of God. We've also learned that we have now put off the old man. The old man, we've put him off. And the old man, remember, he can only grow corrupt. Everything he does goes from a condition worse and worse and worse. Not only that, we've found that we have now been renewed in the spirit of our mind, and we have put on the new man. Thank God for that. By His grace, by His goodness, we put on the new man who is called according to God in true holiness and true righteousness. Therefore, since all of these things that I just said from God's Word are true, look at verse 25, talking this morning about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Part 1, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, and look at the reason, for we are members one of the other. Isn't it amazing that Paul starts off his list with the new man, and he says, put off lying. In other words, put it off once and for all. You would think that you wouldn't have to tell a Christian that has been born from above, don't tell a lie. Amen? But the fact of the matter is that people lie. Christians lie. Loved one, listen. It's a tragic thing for a person to believe what someone tells them, but they believe it, but it is false what they believe. That is a dangerous, horrible thing. Did you know that the first sin of man is a direct result of believing the very first lie ever told on planet Earth that we know of? And it comes from the wicked one, amen? I mean, that's how the fall happened. The first recorded words, the first recorded speech of the wicked one, the devil, in the garden was a lie. Has God indeed said? The result of believing in the garden, Adam and Eve, the result of believing just one lie, just one lie. All mankind fell. The Bible says in Psalm 116:11, all men are liars. It's amazing. All men are liars. You know, have you ever noticed that you don't have to teach your children? You don't have to teach your children to tell the truth. You have to teach them not to lie. Isn't that right? Yeah. You know, why? They're born that way. We're all born that way. And as we look at this horrible temptation about lying, the thing that happened in the garden, you know, the first lie was told to a woman. The first person deceived on this planet was a woman. Her name is Eve. And you know why? You know why Satan went after Eve? Because Adam was gone. And he wanted to do something. He wanted to get to the federal head. So he used Eve to get to Adam. And by that, what happened? By one man, sin and death entered into the entire world. It says in 1 Timothy 2:14, it says, Adam was not deceived. Remember Adam, he willfully sinned. He went totally against what God said to do. But Eve, it says, she was deceived. She didn't just outright do it on her own. She thought that, why would he want to lie to me? What's wrong with being like God to the devil? No, listen, the result of the fall, this is unbelievable, isn't it? Now listen, every person in every generation, every person that has ever been born by what believing that one lie Adam did in Eve, every person has lied. Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that could raise their hand and say, I have never told a lie? No, you can't. Oh, man, listen, you know what? There's not a place on earth where men or women have been that a lie has not been told. How many lies, well, you know what? I've been speaking for about 3 minutes. How many lies around the world do you think have been told in the last 3 minutes? Unbelievable, isn't it? Oh, loved one, listen, I'm telling you what, today we live in a world that is flooded and filled and a deluge of lies. You don't know who to believe. You don't even know who you can trust. That's why, you know, when you read news or you hear news or read the newspaper, you know, I mean, you have to, they have what's called what? Fact check. Remember? Y'all ever use that? Is that really true? Or Snopes or whatever you call that? Snopes? I don't know what it's called. S-N-O-P-E-S. I've never been there. But I see it on the news sometimes that you know, check this to see if it's true. It's amazing. Even Channel 8 here in Fort Worth, I think it's Channel 8, they have what's called Verify. Is this true or not true? We live in a world that is so consumed with lies that we don't even know what the truth is. We have a whole new word. I guess Trump did it. I don't know, coined it. It's fake news, you know. I kind of sounded like him when I said that, didn't I? You know, fake news is tremendous. Let me tell you, it's tremendous. It's tremendous. You know how he talks. Sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'm not speaking evil of the White House. No, listen. And then you have people that lie to themselves. You have habitual liars. Have you ever met a sociopath, an habitual liar? One that they don't even have to lie, but they just lie over and over. It's unbelievable. And they're so convincing that you believe they're telling the truth. You have lies in the White House. You have lies in God's house. And that should never, ever be. Amen. It says to put away lying. What was the first sin that God judged in the early church? Oh, come on, guys. You're lying. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 and following. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira. They came in. Ananias came in first. He sold his property, laid the money at the disciples' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie unto the Holy Spirit? Did you not, I mean, you didn't have to give this money. You didn't even have to give a penny of it. What's your problem? And then he fell dead, remember? A little later, about 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came in. Peter asked her, what, did you guys sell the money for this much, or the land? Oh, yeah, we sure did. What happened to her? She fell dead. Like I told the early service, and they played Stand By My Man at her funeral. No, never mind. No, listen, lying is something. What do you think God... Because, see, lying grieves the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Amen? What do you think God the Father thinks about lies? He hates them. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:16, it says, yea, six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are even an abomination unto him. God hates something. What is it? Well, we could go through the whole list, of course, but let me just take two of them. A lying tongue, a false witness who speaks lies. God hates lying. Listen, the Holy Spirit hates lying. You know, John the Apostle, he writes in 1 John 1:16, it says, if we say, if any Christian, if we say, or any person, words that come out of our mouth, because see, words matter. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, koinonia, if we have intimacy, an ongoing love one for another, a deep intimacy, he says, and if we walk in darkness, a continual habitual lifestyle, he says, we lie. He says, we are a liar. We don't practice the truth. John the Apostle writes later, 1 John 2:22. I love this one. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, meaning 100% man, 100% God, his deity, his humanity. He says, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So that puts the whole world in the wrong, doesn't it? Now, how about 1 John 4:20? The speech, the words. If someone says, well, I love God, but you hate your brother, you listen to what God says. He is a liar. For how can you love his brother whom you have seen, and how can you love God whom you have not seen? If you go through the Bible and study out lying, you want to stay away from it. Amen? It grieves the Spirit of God. Revelation 21:8 says that all liars, they end up in the lake of fire, meaning hell. And it's the second death, loved one. They're going to be there with the wicked one, the father of all lies, which is the devil. So lying is something we want to stay away from. It says in John 8:44, Jesus talking about Satan, as he was speaking to the Jews, he said this. He says, Satan, he was a murderer from the very beginning, meaning in the garden. He calls spiritual death and even eternal death. He's the author of every graveyard. He is the one who Jesus stripped, who had the power over death. He said, oh, he was a murderer from the beginning. And he says, Satan, he doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in the wicked one. No truth. There's not just a smidgen of truth in him. His whole entire diet is sin. He is the man of sin. He loves sin and lawlessness. He says, there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, listen carefully, he speaks from his own resources. In other words, that is his native language. For he is a liar, Jesus says, and the father of it, of every lie, of every falsehood, of every false religion. We don't want anything to do with him. Amen? He is the defeated one, and we want to keep him that way. Amen. Now, Jesus told us about lying or the words that come out of our mouth. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, let your yes be yes, your no be no, for whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Whatever you do, don't take refuge in a lie. It's a dangerous place. You can't do that. You will grieve the Spirit, because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Amen? He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our strengthener, our standby. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't make him sad. And lying makes him sad. It says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. So it says, therefore, put away lying. Let every Christian, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. What does it say in Ephesians 4:16? Speaking the truth in love. That's the language that we speak. We speak God's truth. We speak truth, period, in love. And the reason? Watch this. For we are members one of another. You see, we are the body of Christ. We're the family of God. One body, members individually. We need to love one another, guys. We don't need to be lying one to another. And the reason? The characteristics of the wicked one, the devil, those characteristics have no place in the body of Christ. Not at all. See, lying, which is from the wicked one, can it ruin, one lie can ruin a man or woman's reputation in 30 minutes, can it? Think about that. One lie. Why is it that a lie spreads so much faster than a truth? You know, think about that. One lie believed can stop a person from receiving Christ Jesus as their Lord. Satan, that's all he does, is he blinds the minds of those who do not believe. He's a deceiver. He is a liar. He appears as an angel of light. He makes darkness look wonderful. He makes darkness look like light. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, which only leads unto death. Man, we have to be so careful about that. And he says, we're members one of another, and then look at this next one. I want to make sure we really understand verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Interesting. Now watch this. Be angry and do not sin. Can you even be angry and not sin? Absolutely. Yes, you can. Is it possible to be angry and not sin? Absolutely. See, be angry is in the imperative in the Greek language. It's a positive command. It's not a negative command, okay? So when we say be angry, this is not the old man's anger, which is vile. This is the new man's anger, meaning it's a righteous anger, an anger. In other words, we hate what God hates. Amen? Okay, thank you. All right, we hate what God hates. See, whenever you see the wickedness, like I told the early service, I don't know how you feel about it, but when I see what's going on in this world, it makes me angry with a righteous anger. When I see children starving to death in a nation that could really provide food for them, but lets them starve to death, does that make you angry? Well, it makes God angry. And it makes me angry. It makes the Holy Spirit angry. But it's not an unholy anger. It is a holy anger. Whenever Jesus went into the temple, man, in John's gospel, and he got the whips and he drove out the money changers and overturned the table, little Jesus, meek and mild. Was that a human anger? No. He said, this is my house. This is God's house. And you've made it a den of robbers, a den of thieves. No, that is a righteous, holy anger. Whenever I see the issues that we're facing in this world, in this land that we live, in this country that we call America, and I see the vile wickedness of man, right this minute, there are places in Fort Worth we could go to right now, and you would see little girls, 10, 12, being sold in sex trafficking. Why don't we protest over that? Why aren't we marching over that? Amen? No, listen, there's so much wickedness in this world, in that righteous anger. It grieves me with all of my heart, and it should every believer, that we have witnessed our world an overnight turn upside down. The America that we once knew, And whenever you can have a group of men and a group of women who have the audacity to challenge the word of God that he has exalted above his very name and redefine the oldest institution in the world, marriage, does that not make you angry? A righteous anger, not where you want to hurt anybody, but inside. This is the kind of anger that we are talking about. I told the early service when I saw what was happening to our police department yesterday downtown Fort Worth, when I saw the men and women stand stoic, stand there and take abuse, verbal, filthy, profanity, I started crying. I couldn't have kept my composure. If had that been me, I would have gotten in the flesh. It was so heartbreaking to see, to hear. I believe in equality, but I don't believe in destroying a person, speaking vile things to a person, no matter what color they are. Do you understand? Oh, that's ungodly, man. And I said, there's an anger. It hurts me. So yes, we should be angry, but then it says, but. It says, don't let, look at it now. It says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, or do not sin. In other words, don't cross that line. It has to be a controlled, righteous anger, a righteous, controlled, holy anger, if you will. So we don't let that wrath, and that's another word there, that means a simmering, brooding anger inside that's so heated that you're ready to strike someone. Now, that kind of wrath we don't want. It says don't go to bed with that stuff. You know what I mean? Don't let that even come near you at all. That anger is forbidden. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. There's something about anger that the church, I think, they have forgotten. Remember what Jesus said there on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus said, you know, you've heard that it was said to those of old. In other words, the scribes and the Pharisees and the rabbis, they had taught something long ago, a tradition. So Jesus said, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. But Jesus said, whoever murders will be in the danger of the judgment. So the scribes and the Pharisees, they made murder something different than what God made it or said it was. In other words, they said, all murder is nothing but a physical act. It's just an external thing. But Jesus said, oh, no, no. Those of old, well, they taught you that. They were totally wrong. Murder is much deeper than that, Jesus said. But I say to you that whoever is angry, there it is, that brooding, simmering anger that is kept alive, never allowed to die, like when Cain killed Abel. He said, I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Without a cause is not in the best Greek manuscripts, by the way. Jesus said, you're going to be in danger of the judgment. So what did Jesus say about murder, to murder another person? Jesus said, you know what? You don't understand, he said. Murder doesn't begin, like if we brought it up to the 21st century. Murder doesn't begin when you go to a gun shop and you purchase a weapon, a gun. Murder doesn't begin when you buy the ammunition. Murder doesn't begin when you put the ammunition in the weapon. That's not when it begins at all. No, Jesus said it doesn't even begin when you pull the trigger. Jesus said, no, murder originates someplace else. Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders. Think about that. A Christian, I know that we can get angry. But don't have that kind of anger, amen? You know, because Jesus just said that we're no better than a serial killer. We're just as guilty as a serial killer because murder is in the heart. John said in 1 John 3:15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So then he says something. He goes through all of this and he says, nor give place to the devil. There's the warning about that anger which is sin, that anger which is forbidding.
We're out of time for today, but please don't miss tomorrow's broadcast to hear the remainder of this message. Thank you for the privilege of your time today, and we hope to see you tomorrow. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.